Ask you to find in your Bibles Matthew chapter 8 this morning. As we normally do, we're going to read some other passages of Scripture. I get on this subject from time to time because it's probably, I think, is the most important subject in the Word of God. The title of it is Christ in You. We're going to begin reading with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I normally do this on Christmas. I thought, Lord, this is, He always changes my mind. He gives me something. I'm glad He does. Amen. He's in charge of this anyway, not me. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother, Mary, was betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly or privately. Didn't want to embarrass her. But while he thought about these things, considered what to do, behold or consider, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Isn't that wonderful? God always works things out, doesn't He? And then the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I want you to know right now, and I just make a simple statement, that if we're going to be saved, if we are saved, that which has saved us has been conceived in us by the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have that, we haven't been conceived in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and also are we as believers. That's who we represent. Wherever we go, well, that's why people ought to meet. Not us, not some religion, some denomination, or some philosophy, or whatever, but they should meet Jesus. They should see Jesus in us and through us and give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. You call His name Jesus, verse 21, for He will save His people from their sins. He's the only Savior that God has given us. Verse 22, so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us, or God in us. I want to say at this point, there's several places, many, many, many places where the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, that's our text. I'll give you our text, Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And it is a mystery to those who don't experience it, and even to those who do, it's a mystery, because they don't really know until God reveals it to them what exactly has happened inside of them. This is the mystery. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ, what is the mystery? Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's the mystery. Let's go back to verse 22. I'll be in verse 23. So, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And I just want to tell you that everything that God does is always in accordance to His Word. Amen. By His word, we're healed. By His word, we're saved. By His everything is done according to His word. And you'll never go wrong by putting your faith. We'll never go wrong by putting our faith and our trust in what God says and believing what He tells us to do or what He says to us. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't have faith. You can't be saved without faith. Amen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we have faith, we're saved. Amen. And that's how we're saved, and we have faith by the Word of God, and then we feed on the Word of God. The Word means we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Amen. That's another indication that Christ is in us, that God is what God is in us, and that Christ is in us, and that we're in Him is that we have a desire for His Word. Amen. Verse 28, Him we preach. We don't have any, that is it. There is nothing else to preach. Him we preach. We're preaching Him, not religion, doctrine, theology. We're preaching Christ. Warning every man and teaching every man and woman and any person who can hear us in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If you're going to be perfect, and you're going to have to be, listen to me carefully. If we're going to be perfect, the only way to be perfect is through Christ and in Christ. And if we're not perfect, and this is talking about, most of you have been here long enough to know that there's spirit, soul, and body, and that there's things in the Word that affect our bodies and our souls, and there's all in our wills and so forth. But when He's talking about a standing or a position or who we are in Christ, that's something that God has done in His salvation through Jesus, and that is our standing. So we have a standing in our spirit because God is a spirit, as the Bible said. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The Father seeks such to worship Him. So the only way we can worship Him and come into His presence is to be perfect, and that's who we are in Christ, and that's what we are in Christ, because He's the only one that's ever been perfect. Amen. So that's why we preach Him, because He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Amen? This is all just simple stuff, but we need to be reminded of it from time to time so we'll know who we are and where we stand. Because the enemy, I've learned in the last few years of my life, well, all my life pretty much as a Christian, my Christian life, that there's a battle going on and in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm affects our minds. And as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, 4, and 5, though we walk in the flesh and we live in a, that's what he's talking about, though we live in a fleshly body, our warfare is not carnal, it's not fleshly. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted, it's mighty through God. Casting down imaginations, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't know about you, but I have to take the shield of the faith, sword of the Spirit, and I have to do what James says, resist the devil. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? I have to do that. And we have to learn how to do that, and that's, we have to put on the whole armor of God, and we have to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to do that. God's not going to do everything for you. Amen. He's already done everything for you. In Christ, it's up to us to live it and demonstrate it. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. So we're perfect. Well, you say, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not either in the flesh. I don't even... The Lord showed me what I was in the flesh one time, and showed me a maggot swimming around in the garbage can, bottom of the dirty, filthy garbage can, and He said, there you are. And I said, that's me, Lord. I don't even know how in the world you'd come down to this place and pick up a maggot like me. Amen? Huh. So we preach Christ, warning every man, teaching every man, Colossians 1:28, verse 29, to this end I also labor. How many of you are laboring? So we don't have to labor for your salvation. Well, if you do, if you're going to work it out in you. Well, what is it? Philippians 2:12, 13, 14 says, the last part of verse 13 says, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do you do that? Because it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 14. So you don't work it out. We don't work it out on our own. We work it out what He's worked in us. Amen? Oh, my goodness. What that's conceived in you, what did He say to Joseph? That which is conceived in your wife is of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, if you're saved, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when the Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, I think verse 5 or 6 or whatever, somewhere in there. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's what you need to do. That's what I have to do. We all need to do that. Turn off the TV, turn off the stereo, turn off the record players, just don't have to put some guy. Don't just put on gospel music, but put gospel music right here. Let it come out of right here. Amen. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's easy to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you just will, and if we'll just do it. All right. Striving, what am I? Verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. God will work in us mightily if we ask Him to, allow Him to, and commit ourselves to Him so that He can and He will. Amen? And He does that through the power of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope, how many of you know we serve the God of hope? Not a fear, doubt. He's the God of hope. He's the God of hope. And here's what He wants to do. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. God wants to fill us with joy and peace as we put our trust in Him. He'll fill us with joy and I don't know about you, but there's been so many times I've been so glad that all the circumstances and situations that's hit me and that I've gone through and my wife and I used to go through. If people would really understand, and I know some of you are going through different things right now, and everybody goes through something. In fact, I never did really have any major problems until I become a Christian. I'm hesitant to say that. That doesn't sound pretty right, but now, along with that comes the way and the means of being able to overcome all of the spiritual warfare that we go through. Amen? How'd I get on this anyway? Amen. That we may, Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And what I was going to say, the amazing thing that has always amazed me is sometimes I pray, how many of you ever find yourself in a situation that's just literally horrible and you don't like it at all? And you pray to God and you pray to God and you pray to God and, you wonder, yeah, it gets worse. It doesn't go away. And so you wonder, and then the enemy, somebody told me the other day, said, I am just going, and they were almost crying. We're going through the biggest battle we've ever been through in our lives, and we just don't know what to do. And I said, well, praise God. It got really quiet. I said, well, it won't go away. And I said, well, do you believe God loves you? Yeah. Do you believe, you're where God wants you to be? Yeah. Well, why do you think you're going through this? Well, that's what I'd like to know. Well, he says, Don't think it's strange in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Don't think it's strange, or verse 12, like it is. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Y'all ever read that scripture? That the trying your faith, you listen? Being much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire, amen, shall be to the praise of His honor and glory. Praise God. Amen. Somebody say amen. My goodness. Praise God. And the thing that's always amazed me about it was that how in the world can I have the peace of God and enjoy the peace of God, which I do, in the midst of this severe trial and fire that I'm going through? I am enjoying the peace of God. It doesn't affect me. The enemy's trying to fill me with doubt and fear and worry and frustration and all these other things, and here I am just happy and joying in the Lord by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Anybody doesn't know about that thinks I'm absolutely crazy and nuts. Amen. They'll think the same thing about you if they know who you are and what you're going through. Amen. How can I have peace in the middle of all of this fiery trial that's going on? Well, God is your peace, not circumstances. God is our peace, not our circumstances and our situations. Get your mind, set your... Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, since you have risen with Christ, set your affections, your mind on things above and not on things on this earth, because you're dead and you're hid with Christ in God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The devil comes and says, look what you did. I said, you're not talking to me, you're talking about a dead man. That man you're talking about is a dead man. He's been crucified with Christ, he's been baptized with Christ. He's dead. He's the old man. Quit talking to me about the old man. I don't want to hear about a dead man. I want to hear about the live one. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Huh. Well, I'm not trying to impress people. I'm not trying to grill some great big church or be whatever or anybody. I'm just simple country guy trying to share the word of the gospel to people. I'm trying to build up and strengthen the body of Christ as He's told me to through the preaching and teaching of His Word. Because if you're going to abound in hope, Romans 15, verse 13, it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit conceives us in Christ, births us again in Christ, born again, and everything that we have is through Christ. Amen. Everything. Absolutely everything. It's not of me. It's of the Lord. Anything that's bad comes through me is the flood of the flesh and is the old man. I need to put him off. Anything that's good is to Christ be all the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. For this Christ in you, He worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I wanted you to see, I'll get back to my, haven't finished reading all my scripture. I'll get back to my introduction. God help us. Mary, I was trying to remember how old Mary was. I'd forgotten. Mary was a young Jewish girl, highly favored and blessed of God. Amen. 14 years old, that's what they say, approximately 14. Her husband Joseph was somewhere in his mid to late 30s. One source says he was probably 36 years old, so he's much older than she was. But that wasn't strange for those days. According to some Bible historians, young women got married at 13 and 14 and 15 years old back in those days. Well, Joseph thought he was getting a young Jewish 14-year-old girl that was beautiful, I'm sure, and was pure and clean, had never been unfaithful. You listening? had never known a man. Well, I don't know how he found out. I guess she told him. She said, she said, before we get married and consummate this marriage, I want you to know I'm expecting a baby. Can you imagine what he thought? That would be a tough pill to swallow. And the Bible says, while he considered these things, I imagine he did consider them. And he was trying to figure out, and the fact of the truth of the matter is, I want you to see, now this literally is what happened. We just read, this is a biblical account of what happened. This really happened. And so, I don't know if he asked her or she told him, he said, I'm expecting, and he was probably so shocked after he got over that, he said, well, who have you known? How did you get pregnant? How did you come to be expecting? Well, God did it. You don't say. What are you talking about? Never heard anything like that in my whole life. It's the biggest lie I've ever heard. Now I'm going to have to go back and consider more about what you're saying. But because he loved her. See, back in those days, they had a custom. If you married a woman, she was supposed to be a virgin. You get married, you find out she wasn't, then this was the only time you were allowed, according to the law. And you remember the religious leaders got into an argument with Jesus about this. This was the only time you were allowed to put her away is when you found out that, hey, she's not a virgin, she's expecting. So Joseph could have gone, you would go to the gate, and something had to do with the shoe. I can't remember all of that. throw her shoe or your shoe or whatever. And explain the circumstances to the elders that sit at the gate and then publicly embarrass her and put her away. And then she was ostracized by all the good religious people of her day. Because he loved her, he didn't want to do that. But because it was a known thing, everybody knew and considered the circumstances that he was in. They didn't know what situation she was in, but they knew somewhat about that Joseph was supposed to, they were supposed to be married. That's what I'm saying. And so he got to considering, I think because he loved her, aren't you glad God loves you? Amen. Boy, I'm so glad he loves me. My Lord, I don't know what I'd do if he didn't love me. Oh, my Lord. There'd be a lot of times he would put me away privately. Because I hadn't been perfect in the flesh. And since he would have put me away a lot of times. Not publicly, but he'd just say, so long, Louis, bye, I'm sorry. I was thinking the other day, what an awful, horrible thing it is to be without hope with God and having no faith and knowing that you were shut outside. I don't know how I could stand that. I know a lot of these people out here, when I pray a lot of people for people that are lost, as I do a lot of times, and I'm not trying to brag on myself, that's one of the ministries that God has through me, to pray for people. And I sometimes it's not easy. I got a lot of other things I'd rather be doing, amen, than praying. You listening? But I remind him, Lord, the God of this world has blinded them. They can't see. Would you grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will? 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. That's how we need to pray for them. Because the God of this world has blinded their minds. And if the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and by circumstances and situations in people's lives, I've seen people that didn't even want to have anything to do with God, never thought of it unless they got in just serious trouble and are almost on the deathbed or whatever. Then they got to thinking about, well, what in the world is going on with me? And I've seen some people, elderly people, that I hope they got saved. They called for me to come do the funeral, and when I came to do the funeral, I thought to talk to them about finding life, not death. And they said, yeah, I want to invite Jesus to come into my life. Who wouldn't? I'm about to breathe my last. You know, I hope God, you know, I don't know about deathbed confessions. I know that God loves people so much, I guess he can save them on the deathbed. Amen? That's up to him. That's his business. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen? The thief on the cross was sitting there about to be dead, and he said, Lord, I believe you. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me. Amen? Praise God. I don't care what people say. All I care is what God says. And if I don't know and understand what it is or who they are, it doesn't matter to me. I just tell them what God says. Amen? Praise God. Wow. Where was I? Forgot where I was. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I'm going to read a couple more passages of Scripture, then I've got to close. Hebrews 6, 19. We had a picture last Sunday, I think it was, of the tabernacle. Everybody remember? That was here. We had the tabernacle. When God said to Moses and the people, the children of Israel, he said, listen, why did God create human beings anyway? I'm going to get back to Hebrews. Hang on just a minute. Hang on. I want to dwell with my people. I want to dwell with my people. The only reason you and I, we and all human beings are created is for one reason. We were created for God. We were created for Him. We were made for Him. And He wants, He desires to be with us. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of people are so filled with condemnation and guilt and pride. God, how could God want somebody like you? Well, you were created for Him. That's why He wants you. Amen. You belong to Him from the very get-go. Amen. But He said, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. I want to fellowship with my people. I want to come down and be with them. So this is the earthly sanctuary. Would you stop? Don't look there for just a minute. Look right here. Put your hand on, you probably can't touch somebody. Just put your hand right here. If you're a Christian, you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are God's earthly sanctuary. You are the body of Christ. Christ is living in you. And your body is the habitation of God through the Holy Ghost. Amen? You've been born again by the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible tells us. We need to believe what the Word of God says. Amen? So the earthly sanctuary in under the law, I'm going to make a point here, because in some Christian religious philosophy, whatever, you got to be under the law. You're not under the law. Under the law, this is where you worship God, under the law, right here. In Christ, not under the law, there is now no condemnation. I am, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. I'm the habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's I am under the new covenant. That's the old covenant there. I'm under the new covenant.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Praise God. Now, so here was the outer court. What's the outer court? Outer court, that's the body. That's your body. What's the inner court? Well, the inner court is a holy place. That's your soul. And between your soul and your body is the spirit. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Genesis what? 2:7. God formed a man's body of the dust of the ground. There was his gizzard and his liver and his lungs. And no, he didn't have a gizzard. I'll just check it. All right. There it is. All of it was there, but it couldn't move, it couldn't breathe, it couldn't do anything until God put man's spirit into that body. And then man became a living soul. But he was created in the image and likeness of God. Well, there's millions of people out there, and they don't all look the same. Are you listening? When he says we're created in likeness and image of God, that means in the spirit. We are a spirit, an eternal spirit being just like God is, created for God for his purpose. And he put us in this physical body on this earth so he could have fellowship with us. Amen? And we could see one another. I'll do a series on this about 7 weeks or less. With our body, we come in touch with one another. We know one another well as we can. With our soul, we know ourselves. Amen? We come in touch with ourselves. We look out these. In our spirit, we come in touch with the spiritual realm. Amen? Body with me? We look out these two windows. We're a spirit being. How many of you ever look out these two windows and look down and see your hand and your foot and realize that's not you? That's just the place you're living in. Amen. That's just the tent. Huh. All right. Let me get back to this. Oh, goodness. All right. So, the Holy of Holies is the spirit. That's the spirit of man. It's also where. When they got through building the tabernacle and in the wilderness and they sprinkled everything with blood. Everybody say blood. Blood. Amen. We're all sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Amen. That's the only way we can be saved. Amen. It's by the blood. Whereby Peter says, whereby you know you were redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ without lamb, without spot, and without blemish. And what he says? All right. But we had a problem here. They did. There was a veil. Everybody see that red line? There was a veil there. Nobody could get in there except the high priest. And he could only go once a year. And whenever the Spirit of God came down to have fellowship with the people, the column of cloud came down on the holy place, on the ark of the Holy of Holies, and there was a pillar of cloud there during the day that symbolized the presence of God. Hey, God's there, you know. At night, it was a pillar of fire, a column of fire. Hey, God's here. Amen? You listen? All right. Well, if you read Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came as our only Savior, when he said, no man takes away my life. I have the right. God has given me this life. No man can take it from me. I can give it and I can take it back. Well, when they tried to kill him and they couldn't, he was hanging on the cross after he said, behold your mother. Amen. To the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Bible said they didn't kill him. He dismissed his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. They didn't kill him. The cross didn't kill him. He dismissed his spirit. Why did he do that for you and for me? Amen? That's why he did it. But something happened. What happened? The veil of the temple. Now, it wasn't a tent like it was in the wilderness. This was Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. It was a big, nice, beautiful place. And the veil was up there, and there's still, they couldn't go in there. The priest, high priest, had to go. But when Jesus died, that the Hebrews tells us that the veil of the temple, well, Matthew says 27, I said that 28. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. What was God saying? The rock that represents Jesus Christ, it's been broken for you. The blood has been shed. The veil to my presence has been ripped asunder. You're now welcome through the broken body and the shed blood of my Son to come into my presence and to worship me and get to know me. And you'll be born again into the Spirit of God, and you can be filled with my Spirit, and we can have fellowship one with another. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. That's salvation. That's Christ in you. Amen? That's Christ in you. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have. Romans 15 and other places we said, God, that the hope has filled us, so on, and let this hope be in you, and so on. God's filled us with hope. Now this hope, he tells us, the God of hope, fill you with joy and believing. In Hebrews 6:19, this hope that God fills us with, as we're born again by the Spirit of God, this hope we have, can somebody get a hold of this? As an anchor of the soul. That hope, that Savior, that Lord is the anchor. That's my anchor. That's our salvation's anchor. And it's the anchor of the soul that gets behind the veil and breaks us into the presence of God. Amen? And it's an anchor. Amen? I hope you get that. If you ever get that, you probably have a shout and run away. It's an anchor of the soul. Where is it? What is it? It's sure. Everybody say sure. Your anchor of salvation through Christ Jesus the Lord is sure and steadfast. It's not sure because you made it sure. It's not steadfast because you made it steadfast, or we did, or anybody did. God did through his precious Son, and the veil was torn asunder. And it's the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast, and it's that which enters the presence behind the veil. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Christ in you. Verse 20, where the forerunner has entered for us. Who was the forerunner that entered for us? Everybody say, the forerunner that entered for me. If you're a Christian, he entered for me. Amen. Even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We're going to talk about Melchizedek, don't have time. I want to read one more passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there. For this reason, amen. For this reason, I bow my knees, and there's a lot of people that bow their knees, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you're part of the body of Christ, amen. You're part of the family of God. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not according to your riches or whatever, anything else that you can think, religion, doctrine, deeds of the law, works of the law under the old covenant or whatever, but according to the riches of his glory, to be, what does he want you to be, and me, we, us, as believers, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In our inner man, in our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, or through faith. Verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now here's what else he wants for us. He's talking to all of us that are Christians. Christ in you may be able to comprehend, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the breadth, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You can't understand the physical, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians tells us. But we can have knowledge through the spiritual man, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants to fill you with His presence and love you to death. Amen. So that you can take up your cross and follow Him. To Him is able to see to do that, better be all. Verse 20, He's able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. Amen? And how's He going to do it? That which was conceived in Mary was by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to worry about that. That's for me, God says. You've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You believe in the Lord, put your trust in Him. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. It's according to the power of God that works in us. Amen?
Amen.
That's how He does it. It's His power. Work out your salvation, Philippians 2:12 says. Work out your salvation. For it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He'll give us the power with all. You say, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can't. No, I know you can't, but you can with God's strength. Amen? What did Paul say? I can do all things. Through Christ, who strengtheneth me. Amen?
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise God. So, God wants to do that in you and in me and in us. God, help us to cooperate with Him so He can do that. That's what He wants to do. If you want to please Him, let Him work His will in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Let's stand. I want to thank you all again for being here. If anybody wants to come to the altar to pray, to make a rededication, or whatever you want to do, to be anointed, to have, lay hands on you and pray for you, to be filled with the Holy, whatever. If you want to come, just come on right now before we, this is going to be our invitation. We'll stick around here for a little while and pray with you and pray for you. Just let us know. Amen. And we want to remember this couple that has come. Y'all want to come down? I want the church to come out here and just give you the right hand, if they're Christians, and let them give you the right hand of Christian fellowship and say, we welcome you here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Thomas and Emily. Amen? Let's be dismissed. Praise God. Amen. Brother Ron Williver, would you dismiss us, please, sir? Thank you, sir.